I'd invite you tonight to turn to Psalm 119. And I've been debating this week as to whether do we belabor the point by continuing a study in Psalm 119, but that would be something I cannot say, for God has given us His Word in these many, many passages that speak so clearly of it. And I believe God wants to emphasize His Word in our lives and in our church. And tonight we're going to look at it again as we look at the stanza found in verses 57 through 64. And we'll look at several other places throughout the Psalms this evening. Why don't you follow along as I read verses 57 through 64, Psalm 119. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. I want to encourage you tonight to have an open heart. Because as you know, through Psalm 119, the Lord is talking about, or the psalmist writes under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, about the Word of God time and time again. And he comes at it from several different directions and thoughts and ways. And one passage or verse might strike you this evening, while another might strike another person. And that is the incredible beauty of the Word of God and its scope. Now tonight, as we look at this passage, I want you to just notice verses 57 and 64 at first, okay? The first part of this stanza and the last verse of this stanza. You see where the psalmist says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." All right, so the psalmist says, Jehovah, you are my portion. Well, that portion is basically the idea of an allotment. You are my allotment or my territory. Lord Jehovah, you are mine, and I have said that I would keep thy word. So that's how he begins the stanza. Now the second portion of the last part of the stanza is, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Now let's think about this. If the Lord Jehovah is my portion, and the earth is full of his mercy, then therefore, we can't get away from him, can we? We can't get away from His mercy, because His mercy is across the whole earth. And the psalmist here makes this declaration, you are my portion, O Lord. Now, several times throughout this stanza, we also see this thought, I would keep thy words. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I will hold to, I will observe, I will obey or adhere to your words. You see that there in verse 57. Look at verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Look at verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And so there's something about this idea of keeping or guarding or holding tightly to and obeying God's word and God's commandments. Now we talk about that in the church a lot. I mean, it's over and over and over again. We talk about how important it is to obey God, right? I mean, why do we emphasize such a point? Well, it's because the Bible emphasizes it over and over and over again. We've got to obey. And we need to remember the blessing of the Lord comes with obedience. So now the psalmist then goes on and he says in verse 58, I entreated thy favor, or I entreated thy face, is another way we could say that. I entreated thy face with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Now we see this concept of mercy. Here, merciful is a word associated closely to chesed, which is the word throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that's used meaning loving kindness or the goodness of God. And you see this word chesed in verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy chesed, of thy mercy, of thy loving kindness. And so now that the psalmist here is, I am crying out to you, O God, for that unto thy face with all of my being, with my entire being, please, please be merciful unto me according to thy word. Now, this is something that is a fascinating truth about our God. And we can understand this, is that our God has given us his word. And his word clearly describes to us who he is and how he operates so that we might understand him. And it provides for us, if you will, a tunnel for us to be able to view God. And we know that God is not this and not that because it's not found in his word. But what is found in his word describes and gives us the picture of who God is. And the psalmist here is saying, O God, be merciful unto me according to your word and according to how your word describes your character and how you have been in the past with your people. I plead for your mercy. Now, what does this mean? Well, we know that God is a loving and kind and good God. But we also know that God is a God of wrath, and there are times when sin, if sin is not repented of and not dealt with properly, that God appears not to be a real loving or good to some people. But see, God, the Bible gives us, God's Word gives us those parameters and helps us to understand this so that we know very clearly what to expect from our God. And so therefore the psalmist can say this, be merciful unto me according to thy word. The psalmist isn't asking for anything that's outside of the box. He's just asking for God, be merciful to me in whatever ways you can. In verse 59, and this was very fascinating to me. I enjoy thinking through in pictures and even acting things out. And I want you to picture with me that this aisleway, this is my way. This is the way I am going as a person, the way I'm living. And what we have here is the psalmist writes and he says, I thought on my ways. I considered them. I considered and I looked and I thought and I evaluated them. You know, and you stand and look at it from this angle. And then you come over here and you look at it from this angle. And it's like you're hiking and you're on a trail and it's a new one. And you're trying to figure out what the best way is to get to the summit. And so you're evaluating things. Now, this is an important thing for us to do in life. We need to be considering our way of life, thinking it through. Does it make sense in the sight of God? So the psalmist, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now, Grace and Ian, come here, please. We're going to do something here. All right? If there was more kids, we'd have more involvement here. But I want you to stand out here, and we're going to do a little exercise, okay? See, the Bible tells us here, look here. The Bible says, I thought of my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand out here, put your feet together, all right? Now, I want you to keep looking at the doors, but I want you to turn your feet so they're facing me. Go ahead. Come on. I want you to turn around, but turn your feet around, but keep your face looking at the doors. Can you do that? Go ahead. Try it. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, wait, wait. Wait, wait. No. Well, that's close. But you can't really do it, can you? Grace, can you do it?
No.
All right, you guys can sit down. Now, why can't we do that? Doesn't it make sense that the way our feet are facing is the way we are going, isn't it? And so what do we have here? Is we have the psalmist, he's thinking about his way. And I don't know the psalmist, I don't know what was going on in his life. It's possible while he was writing this that he, as he thought about his ways, realized he might have been heading in a wrong direction. I thought, maybe this isn't the best way. And so he says, I turned my feet. That's literally to turn around, to turn back my feet unto thy testimony. So in other words, he's walking in the way and he recognizes the way is not headed towards obeying God and his word. And so he says, I'm going to turn my feet around. And so I turn my feet, and what follows is my countenance, my life, and I begin to walk in a totally different direction. This is a pretty vivid picture of repentance, isn't it? Remember, repentance is a change of mind that is evidenced then by the change of life. And so the psalmist here, after thinking things through about the way he was going, he said, you know what, I got to turn around. And so he said, I'm going to turn my feet, and I'm going to start heading in a different direction. And when he turns his feet, he turns his life. Notice what else is said here. I thought of my ways, I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy testimony. So here's what I picture, okay? Is I picture, this is, I'm thinking about my ways, I'm considering them, I'm realizing they're not exactly what God desires, my feet are facing this way, so what am I going to do? I'm going to turn my feet, and I'm going to run towards what God wants me to do. I'm not going to waste any time, I'm not going to dawdle, I'm not going to just tiptoe and just keep looking back, wondering if I had a chance to go back in that other direction. No! I'm going to run. And I'm going to run to obey God and His Word. I make haste. I do not delay to keep thy commandments. And so we're getting to know the psalmist here and the kind of person that he is. He's a person that thinks things through. And he's a person that's not perfect. Doesn't that make us feel good? He's not perfect. He realizes, you know what, there's times when I got to turn around. And boy, when I turn around, I know I need to run towards God and obeying Him. I don't dawdle. I don't, like I like to say, dilly-dally. I make haste. I do not delay. Now, something that I thought was interesting and an interesting study is this idea of feet. Now, I don't, you know, anybody here that likes feet? I've met a couple of people that just like feet. I like my wife's feet. I think that was one of the first things that I said to her when we were dating. I said that I liked about her is her feet. Now, don't get on me about that. I don't know if I should have admitted that, but feet. Hey, everybody's gonna look at your feet. Well, it's wintertime. They won't see them for a while. I'll forget. Listen to a couple of things that the Psalms tell us about feet. You can just listen to these. I'm going to read several scriptures tonight. Psalm 8:6. Thou madest him to have dominion over, this is God has made man, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And this, the mention there of dominion, in that God has given us as people, man, dominion. Psalm 18. Listen to this. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is the rock to save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Hinds' feet is a deer or a doe. And so, in other words, the picture is that you've given me feet that I might climb high upon you as the deer. Psalm 25, verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Notice what you're seeing here is feet is being used by the psalmist as they write as being a picture of one's life and lifestyle and way of life. And here the psalmist says, you've plucked my feet out of the net. Psalm 31:8, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. God has set his feet in a large room. Psalm 56:13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? God delivers our feet from falling. And you know, I think that's what the psalmist understands in 119. He's going down a way that's probably not the best, and he realizes, I got to turn around. And that's a picture of how God will deliver us and keep us from falling. Because any way that is not a way towards obeying God and his commandments is a way that will end in death and falling, stumbling. Psalm 66, verses 8 through 11. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried, thou broughtest us into the net, thou layest affliction upon our loins. God suffereth not our feet to be moved. Psalm 116, verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Notice how the psalmist says, you deliver my feet from falling. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then we have in Psalm 119, we have verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Notice it's a very similar idea to the thought that we have read in the stanza we're studying tonight. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And then verse 105 of Psalm 119, a very popular verse, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now we look at all those thoughts and ideas and, you know, talking about feet according to what the psalmists say, tell us, and we realize that there is a correlation between God's guiding us and directing us in his word and our feet. And God's word is a light unto our feet. And he desires us to be able to walk on a path that is clearly laid out, illuminated by his precious word. He's given it to us, folks. He's laid it out. He's got a light that's shining on the way. This is the way for you to go. And sometimes it just takes us a while, doesn't it, to get it through our thick heads. The best way is God's way. The best way is God's way. to do it His way. And boy, sometimes we get headed down a wrong path and we realize we're starting to fall and struggle, and we look and we consider like the psalmist, and what are we to do? Well, the psalmist says, I've turned my feet and I made haste to follow and keep God's commandments. You know, dear ones, you know, we're all going to have times in our life where we realize we're heading down a wrong path. And that's the moment when you say, you know what? I got to turn around. And when you turn around, don't waste any time. Because I want to tell you, the devil is right there to tell you, you know what? You're making a mistake. He's going to cause you to doubt. Your flesh is going to long for the things that are not of God. But you've got to make haste. Do not delay to get back on the path that is illuminated by God's word. Back to our passage in Psalm 119. Verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. That word bands is literally the cords that are used to tie. Robbed me is another way to say that is ensnared me, or the Hebrew word literally means to encircle. And so if you were to draw a picture of this, you could draw the psalmist who is described as, I have not forgotten thy law, and he's inside of a fence. And he's inside of this fence. The wicked have totally surrounded him. But he says, you know what? I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten your law. I'm surrounded by the enemy, by the wicked, but yet I have not forgotten thy law. Verse 62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous precepts, righteous judgments. You know, gratitude is something we try to teach our children, isn't it? Something that you folks probably try to teach your children as they were growing up. You want to teach your children to be thankful. And here, I believe God's teaching us. We need to be thankful and be people of gratitude for His precious, righteous judgments. And the psalmist here exhibiting that, for it, even at midnight, he rises and he gives thanks. Now, verse 63 should be a challenge to us all. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. You know, as I looked at that word companion, and that word companion and is literally to be a fellow, to be somebody that is joined up with. And the Hebrew word literally will come from the word that speaks of to be joined. And what we see here is the psalmist is recognizing the importance of being joined or being connected or being associated with people of like faith and of like belief. I mean, this causes us to ask the question, doesn't it? Who are our closest companions? Who are the people that we are most closely associated with? Are they people, as described here, people that fear God? I mean, the psalmist is saying here, you want to have companions that fear God. You want to surround yourself with people that are fearing God and that are keeping God's precepts. I mean, we encourage our children. We encourage them that they have friends that love God and friends that are propelling them towards God's ways. Now, don't go too far out of this and say that, oh, you know, I can't talk to anybody that's not a Christian. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is we need to make sure that our closest companions, the people that we are connected with and associated with, are people that fear God. Because whether you know it or not, these kinds of people have an influence over our lives. The kinds of things that they do are the kinds of things that we many times find ourselves doing. And it is so, so very important to emphasize that we are people that fear God, and that we are with people that fear God. You know, we are to be, as a church, a group of people that are fearing God. And what a mighty force that is in this dark world. An incredible force. You know, we just watched a movie, The Hiding Place. I encourage you to watch that. It's the story of Corrie ten Boom. She was favorable to the Jews during the time of the German occupation. In was it Holland? Right? Holland. And it was pretty important who your companions were. Were your companions people that were favorable towards helping the Jews? Or were they people that were not? And, you know, ultimately that's how they got caught, was they were tricked. And, you know, it's so very important that we be people that are fearing God, and that there is a mighty force that is around us of people that are fearing God, that we, as we go forth into this world and as we minister, we have the support of our companions, of our fellow associates, who are fearing God, and they will look at you and ask you the tough questions and say, are you fearing God? Are you keeping God's precepts in your life? You've got to have people in your life like that. And finally, verse 64 again. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Do you believe that? The earth is full of God's mercy, God's loving kindness. Can you think of ways that you have seen that as you've gone about and lived your life, walked throughout this earth? The psalmist, the word of God says, the earth, O Lord, is full, an abundance of mercy, loving kindness, goodness, compassion, are all words that describe this word chesed. I encourage you, look for that tomorrow. Look for God's mercy. I believe God will show you little glimpses of His mercy all around you, whether it's someone in a hospital bed that has just received a heart transplant. Mercy of God. Or whether it's a chance you get to rescue an animal from a turtle from being hit on the road. Well, it's the mercy of God that you were able to rescue this little guy. But allow these little things of life, you know, we may think they're trivial, but just allow them to remind yourself of the earth is full of the mercy of God, of God's mercy, of God's goodness, of God's loving kindness. And pray and ask God, God, show me, teach me thy statutes. Show me your mercy. Give me eyes that I might see you and know you more. So again, the psalmist says, thou art my portion, O Lord. Lord, you are my allotment. You are my territory. I have said that I would keep thy word. So Lord, if you are my territory, and if the earth is full of thy mercy, there's nowhere I can go where I will not find your mercy. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this precious truth. And Lord, I'm just continually amazed as we go through this psalm of the glory and the sufficiency of your word. I pray that it would impact all of our hearts as we go from this place. Lord, change our hearts and lives. Give us eyes to see you and to see your mercy. Give us glimpses of your mercy, your goodness, your loving kindness as we go throughout our week. Lord, build up your people, I pray. Give them strength for the things that they will face. And I thank you so much for these companions that you have given to me, and that they fear God and that they desire to keep your precepts. And Lord, may we be a mighty force for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.